And then his youngest daughter, who's 6 years old, comes up and she's into gymnastics. And she's kind of cartwheeling around the room while everyone else is playing. And then, all right, she's going to play you a song. And she comes up and she's all full of beans. And then she sits down and she plays the most somber Debussy song. And it was like, there was so much soul in what she played for a six-year-old. I'm like, whoa. Like, you're not, the amount of depth in what she did, it was like, whoa, you are like a wise young girl.
That's an old soul.
That's an old soul. Exactly. That's an old soul. And I looked at him and he's crying. And he's invested heavily in various different AI projects. And one of them is this company that's going to be like a prompt and then it makes music. And he said, well, you know, it's cool, but are you not worried about AI like taking you out? And I was like, well, do you think I should be? You probably know better than me. And he said, well, you know, AI can do exactly what she just did. Just so you know, like right now, I could get AI to play that song and it can play it perfectly. I was like, yeah, but would it make you cry?
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Stephen Ridley.
There's also been this existential dread around AI, I think, that a lot of people are feeling right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that for music.
Yeah, I mean, well, when I hear you talk about the spirit and soul of a song and hearing an AI do it just doesn't give you the same experience, I am less and less afraid of that.
Yeah, I'll tell you a true story. There's a guy called Victor, and he's a very, very, very multi-billionaire guy. And his wife is a big fan of my music. And I, through some friend of a friend of a friend, I ended up getting introduced to this guy. And I was in London. He was in London. He was like, hey, I'd love to meet you. Let's have a cup of tea. I meet this guy. I don't really know why I'm meeting this guy. Very serious guy. Like, if you Google him, you're like, wow, this is like a big, serious guy. And he's a big investor in all these big finance platforms and AI and generative blah, blah, and just words I don't even understand. And I was like, okay, cool. And I meet this guy. What do I have to offer in this conversation? I have no idea. But I go there and we have the most fast. I couldn't leave. We were together for about 6 hours in the Corinthia Hotel. Cup of tea just kept getting filled up and filled up and filled up. I never drank so much tea in my life. And we were going back and forth and back and forth and all about the nature of consciousness and music. I did not expect this today. And he's a phenomenally intelligent guy. And then he said, listen, I got to be honest, like, I want to hire you. I know this is going to sound strange, but I want to hire you to come and play to my wife in my home. And it's going to be a concert for two people. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I've actually done this more than once. So I was like, you know, I've done this. I've had like people, they propose or they take like a suite in a hotel room and they do like a fancy dinner and they hire me to come and do that. It's actually more common than you'd imagine. Yeah, I'll totally do that. Okay, great. And then he got really excited about it. And then the wife got so excited that they have six children and they were all over the world. Like one was in Japan, one was studying at Harvard, and they all flew in for this time that we're going to have. And it was only 2 days later. It was Tuesday when I met him. Thursday was when we're going to do it because I had to leave London. And he emptied his living room and there was a piano in the middle of a living room and it was surrounded by these big love chairs. And I didn't know this, but everybody in his family is an amazing pianist, except him. He doesn't play. His wife went to like Moscow Conservatory and she's this super decorated pianist. She was a professional pianist, concert pianist for 10 years. And so I come in and I think, you know, I'm going to be playing a show. That's what normally happens. I come in, I do a show and there's a lot of interaction. So I come in and I play the first song and then she's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Can I play you a song? I was like, what? Yeah. Absolutely.
So you had a campfire going there.
We had a campfire. Now, each of the kids is also amazing on piano. So she played a song. And then she's like, all right, now, if you don't mind, this guy's, I can't remember the name of the son, but the son's now going to come play your song. Son sits down, plays like his own kind of things, really different. And then it goes down in age order. And then his youngest daughter, who's 6 years old, comes up and she's into gymnastics. And she's kind of cartwheeling around the room while everyone else is playing. And then, all right, she's going to play you a song. And she comes up and she's all full of beans. And then she sits down and she plays the most somber Debussy song. And it was like, there was so much soul in what she played for a six-year-old. I'm like, whoa. Like, you're not, the amount of depth in what she did, it was like, whoa, you are like a wise young girl.
That's an old soul.
That's an old soul. Exactly. That's an old soul. And I looked at him and he's crying. And then the end of this evening, we again get talking about AI. And he was asking, this comes full circle. This is the reason I bring this story up, is he's invested heavily in various different AI projects. And one of them is this company that's going to be like a prompt and then it makes music. And he said, well, you know, it's cool, but are you not worried about AI like taking you out? And I was like, well, do you think I should be? You probably know better than me. And he said, well, you know, AI can do exactly what she just did. Just so you know, like right now, I could get AI to play that song and it can play it perfectly. I was like, yeah, but would it make you cry? And then he smiled and he was like, gah. And this guy, he told me he's put $400 million into the company. And he's like, yeah, we'll never be able to do that because no matter how good you get it, it's not got this extra missing ingredient. He's like, no matter how good it gets. And the end of this conversation and what my takeaway is and how I currently feel is there's a lot of things in life where we don't necessarily need to put ourselves into it. It doesn't require our imagination, creativity, any spiritual anything. Those things probably can be replaced by AI. I don't need really somebody to take my order when I go to McDonald's. Probably AI can do that. I don't need somebody who's sitting there accounting the books. Probably AI can do that. I don't need, like, there's a lot of things. Like, once upon a time, if you wanted to do maths, you went and hired a guy who had an abacus and he figured it out for you. And then we have a calculator. Well, we don't really need that. It's not an emotional activity. But I actually think that the future economy will be heavily into creativity, into arts. Into, I think that's exactly where culture will go. And it's very interesting that a lot of the students who have recently come into my academy, there's a lot of IT professionals that come in. And
interesting.
Because they've kind of, their jobs have got a lot easier because AI is doing most of it. And they've realized there's this kind of part of them that's missing that they want to kind of work on. And there's a side of them that they want to get to know better. And it's very interesting. And I'm like, huh. So I'm not too worried about AI. And I love it. I think it can be used. I think it's a tool to be used. But I think you also have to recognize and know the value that we have as humanity. There is a compassion, a kindness, a creativity, an imagination, an affinity, a sincere communication. There is these hard to bottle qualities that other things might imitate, but it's not the thing.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Actually, I've said before that I want AI to balance my books, not write my books.
Oh, that's good.
So but I also understand, and you touched on this a little bit too, that sometimes good enough is good enough. Unfortunately. You know, that's what's going to happen. So, but yeah, I totally agree that there are definitely things that humanity and creativity that human creates, that there is a place for that, that there will always be a place for that. You wouldn't know because of streaming right now. That's an interesting little question there too. I mean, how do musicians these days make their money?
Well, I'll tell you something. Do you want to know something interesting about
that? Please.
Okay, so I'm very interested in this subject, as you might imagine. I'm a musician and I play for millions and millions of people around the world. Yet if you go on my Spotify, there's no songs on there. That's weird. It shouldn't be that way, right? Well, And there was, I had three big number one hits in Russia randomly some years ago. And at the time, they were on iTunes. And then there was a dispute with the record label and I took them down. And like one of them, it had over 500 million radio plays. It was the biggest song in the English language of that decade.
Did you make a dollar?
Not one. Didn't make a single dollar.
No.
And then the label turned around and was like, oh, sue us.
Oh my God.
Because I had it independently audited by another label and they thought that it was about $17 million. And I should have had 66% of that. And then I went to the label and they're like, okay, if you don't like it, sue us. And obviously I wasn't in a position to do that and they have all the money in the world. And so I was like, okay, well, if I can't do that, but what I can do is I can remove it. So I just removed it. And but that's not the story. The story is this. That isn't, by the way, why I do all the show. It's like this. I started doing something in shows and I did it accidentally and it's still accidental. And incidentally, I'm about to start releasing music, which is one of the scary things I've done. But I've made a career so far and a really, really, really lucrative career from this concept that if you want to see and experience my music, come to the show. Now, the real reason for that is I didn't find a way where I can record it and it's as amazing as whatever this moment is that we have. And I was writing songs for other people. I was in recording studios. I remember this one time I did 14 songs for this TV show, Luther. It's a big UK TV show. So I was in a studio for a month and he was like, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you release your own songs? Like, you got all these songs. Why don't you? I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm sitting in here. I get introverted. They don't sound that good. I listen to them. I don't know. I love being on stage. I just like performing and people are still showing up at my shows and, you know, I'm just going to do that. So, but weirdly, I then got this reputation of like, if people loved that show, they're like, where can I get your music? And I'm like, at the next show. And so they all show up. And every single time the show is different. And I show up and I'm like, because I don't have the pressure of having to record it 600 times, get it perfect, mix it, master it, spend $100,000 doing blah. I don't need to do that. I write a song, I go on stage, I play it. And I've been doing this since I played in the streets. And if you love it, well, make sure you come back next time. And because of that, my shows have grown and grown and grown. And I went to a country called Uzbekistan. I couldn't point to it on a map. And 28,000 people came out. It was the biggest show, biggest outdoor solo event in that country's history.
Wow.
I beat Sting. Sting was the last guy who had that. In 2009, it was Sting. And then I went there. I didn't even know anybody knew me there.
Congratulations.
It was wild. It was wild. Yeah. And it was from one video in the pandemic that went viral on a news channel. I didn't know any of this. I put it on Facebook. And then a news channel, it was a cover of Imagine. When I find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary, let it be. And then I go into Imagine. So I mash those two songs. And with paying no royalties or anything, this big news network had played this video on repeat, on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. And then I went there and then all these people came. But they came because there was no other way to access my music. And as people would know, there is some income in shows. All that said, I'm still about to do the unthinkable and then do this weird game of releasing music, which intuitively to me, it doesn't make sense. Like, the rational part of my brain is like, well, hold on a minute. I spend so much money recording this and it's quite expensive to do it at a high level. And I've done it at a high level and I've gone and got the best people I can get and fancy studios and yada, 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 only to go give it away, essentially, because getting paid a thousandth of a penny for a song is really not going to do anything. It costs more to market it than you could ever hope to get in revenue. The advertising is, you know, costs a lot more than a thousandth of a penny to go and find a listener, right? So, and even if you just do organic, okay, it takes some money to make the organic. And so it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I have this different idea now and I'm guided by some weird sort of faith, which I think is common to a lot of musicians, which is the same faith that I had in the streets. When I went to play in the streets, it made no sense. How can you quit investment banking to go play piano in the streets? Have you lost your mind? And every rational part of my brain says, I am crazy. And my mum told me that she thinks I'm crazy. She begged me to go beg for my job back. Every single friend I had in my life left me. They all stepped away. I realized they were fake friends, but I had this gold digging girlfriend. She was quick out the door. Like, everybody left me. And I'm playing in the streets, and the part of the story that I don't tell so often, but the police come all the time. And I get noise complaints. So my music is now noise. That's not so great. And they treat me like I'm a beggar. Just this morning, I'm an investment banker. Isn't that funny? And you would have been shining my shoes and calling me sir when I'm actually done nothing to deserve it. And amazingly, now all I'm doing is sharing the most beautiful thing I've got to share. And suddenly you treat me like some kind of criminal. It's weird.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
But I was guided by this weird, inexplicable thing that this is just right. And it was right for me because it's like I can go and reach people with the thing that I love. And similarly to me now, I think the same thing. I'm like, all the musicians I admire, I listen to their music, and nobody can do that with me. And as scary as it is, I'm gonna have to confront putting it out there. And it is scary, by the way. I'm petrified of this. Genuinely, I'll just be honest. I'm very scared. I'm scared no one's gonna listen to it, no one's gonna like it, that it sounds terrible, that it gets.
I think every musician in history has had that. Yeah. that fear. Yes. Yeah.
I've got the it's gonna get three streams and no views worry. I've got the whole thing. But I'm just guided by this thing of like, I've just got to do this because I want to reach people, and this is a way to reach people, and it doesn't need to make financial sense. It doesn't matter, because I know it will all work out if I just do what I think is right. It's always worked my whole life, even building the school. Building the school made no sense. I lost millions of dollars building the school. And throughout it all, I didn't have any safety net. I didn't have some guy giving me millions of dollars. And I was just guided by this knowledge of like, this is right. This is right because I know I've got something where this is game changing, and I'm just going to keep going with it. And I can't explain how it's going to work, when it's going to work, why, anything, but it's going to. And this has worked a couple times in my life now. So I'm in this same place on streaming and where I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to see me in a year and you can laugh in my face and go, ha, 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 that was such a
failure. I would never laugh in your face. And I think that everyone needs a little faith in their ability to accomplish what they want to accomplish. I think there's a lot to be said for willpower.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah.
But let's go into the school a little bit, because we didn't cover that at all. And I would really like to ask you about that. Mm. Also, because you talk about longevity and playing music, right? Yeah. So is that part of the school that you're doing now, or is it separate entirely?
So there's the school. I'm going to address those two topics
yeah,
separately.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. So the school came about because the way I learned piano was quite painful. I taught myself for a long time, and then I had traditional lessons. Sit straight, do this, getting hit with a ruler, loads of complexity, a bunch of theory that makes no sense, squiggles and wiggles and Latin and Italian and a lot of complexity. And I went through all of that, and it was not enjoyable. I gave up more than once. And somehow, through some grit and perseverance and a lot of my parents making me, I got to the top of the mountain. And then music was fun. It was like fun before I started. It was fun when I was first noodling. Then I went to get educated, and all it made me want to do is quit piano. And I suffer through years and years and years and years of hours and hours of practicing a day. And then I get to enjoy music. And when you get to the top of the mountain, Einstein said this, that when you finally understand something, you can express it simply. When I got to the top of this mountain, I was, hold on a minute, it's so simple what I'm doing here. And I go around, I play with thousands of musicians now, and what they're doing is simple too. And so I was constantly coming up and having people at the end of shows, and if I'm playing in the street, one of the most common things that I would have is people coming up, and they're really moved by this experience. And they say, wherever I am in the world, kind of the same story of, you know, I've always wanted to play piano. And they'll tell me usually a story like, you know, I tried lessons as a kid, or I tried this app, or I tried a bit of YouTube, or I tried this, I tried that, but it didn't work. And they leave this experience feeling like they're no good at music, or I can't do it, or it's too hard, or. But in actual fact, what I thought is, well, no, I just think the education sucks. Because if everybody's having the same experience, and I know better than everybody, I just lived it.
Sure, good point.
And I don't use, like, I learned all this complexity, but I don't use 90% of it. So what a waste of time. And there's all this stuff, and now I've gone through it. I'm like, I think there could be a better way. And I spent 9 years trying to figure out what that better way was. 9 years of absolutely no congratulations and, oh, wow, it's going so well. That took some special perseverance. But after 9 years, I got this new way, and which originally was going to be called Stephen's Passionate Journey of Piano. But that apparently didn't sound good. So
I don't know. It's pretty explanatory.
Yeah, I thought so. But I did like a survey of friends and then nobody...
They didn't like it.
It ended up being called the Ridley Method. I was like, okay, that sounds a bit more scientific, but...
it's a little more catchy.
Yeah, there you go. So, but essentially, it's just how to learn piano, 10 minutes a day, fun, fast, simple. And fun is the most important part of that because from day one, it's fun. It's the way it's structured and what you're doing is you're doing these micro steps. So you're just practicing 10-minute micro steps, one thing, not 15 things, that's so simple that you can practice it in 10 minutes. And essentially, then it's this journey of individual steps and each day you're improving, and that makes it quite addictive. And so then I released the school. I thought I would just be selling it at the end of my shows. It didn't really go that way because COVID came right when I finished it.
Of course it did.
And I had 58 out of 58 shows cancel, and they'd all paid a 50% deposit. And per the contract, this was like an act of God. So I had to give the money back.
Oh, ouch.
But I didn't have the money because I paid tax on that money. So I've already lost a big chunk of it. And then some of these people are paying me like a year, 2 years in advance, and I've invested that money. And, you know, I'm like, oh God, like what do I do here? And I hated this position of not being able to work. I'm an artist. All I want to do is play music. This is weird. And now more than ever, does the world need it? I used to hate social media before this experience. I still have a bit of a love-hate relationship, if I'm totally honest, but
I think a lot of us do.
But in this moment, it was the only place I could play. And so I made an Instagram. I'd held off. I had a little personal one, but I didn't really... I was like, okay. And I went on Instagram and they just launched Instagram Live as a feature. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go and play two shows every single day. And Instagram Live, it would only let you go for 3 hours and then it stopped automatically. So I'm like, right, I'm going to play for 3 hours. And I'm going to play a 3-hour concert in the morning and play a 3-hour concert in the night. And in the beginning, nobody came. I did that. I thought it was going to be 2 weeks. I thought COVID was going to be 2 weeks. It ended up in 9 months. And at the end of 9 months, I had 70,000 people on these live streams, which is like 2 Madison Square Gardens. And now the same thing that had been happening my whole life, which is people coming up to me saying, oh my God, you know, I want to play piano. But now it was happening on my DMs. So I've got all these people direct messaging me, oh my God, I want to play like you. I was like, well, I've got this court. And so then that's how I started, like the first signups were from that. And then I just took any income that I got from that and I put it into advertising. I never advertised anything. I'm English. I'm not naturally into advertising. Like, it's not...
Being English doesn't mean you don't do all sorts of things.
No, but it, like, culturally, we're not quite so like, hey, do you want to get in my car? And like, we're not that...
Well, I'm Canadian, so I get it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Canadians are like a good harmonic of it. Like, we have this... It's probably a false idea that you should be... Like, the wise man doesn't need to tell you he's wise. And
yes.
You know, these kind of...
Understated.
Elegance is an understated thing. And, yes. And we're an elegant culture. And that's great, but it doesn't get any sales. And if you've got a message, being quiet doesn't really get it anywhere. And I had to go through this uncomfortable process of just... But I was guided by this. Look, I know this is cool and I want people to have it. And so I'm going to do this kind of gimmicky advertising because... I'm going to see if it works. And unfortunately, it worked. So then I did a lot more of it. And then I was like, oh gosh. And then that's how this thing's grown. And now...
Well, now you have to keep it up.
Yeah, a little bit. And well, now we have a lot of word of mouth and a lot of people coming in because, oh my God, you know, my granddad's suddenly amazing on piano. How did that happen? Now we're 38,000 students. That's nuts to me. I'm 38,000 students in over 40 countries from 5 years old to 95 years old. More than half the students are over 50.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. And who could have thought? And that comes to longevity.
Okay, let's go there.
What's piano got to do with longevity? Well, so I'm very interested in biohacking. Do you know what biohacking is? Yeah.
I do, yes.
So I'm very interested in that. It feeds the geek in me. I play a lot of concerts for like royalty and billionaires and all these kind of people and you know, they book me for these private shows, these shows that nobody ever knows exists, and they're all very fancy and they're usually amazing. The beauty of these shows is they tend to be very small audiences, and then after you, it's usually on a vacation or some period, and then so I'll normally like hang out for a day afterwards, and I become friends with these people, right? I started to notice about 10 years ago every one of these like super successful people were heavily interested in biohacking, and they're all going to live forever. And I found out that, like, you know, they're all like getting their bloods tested, and it's getting very scientific very fast. And I was fascinated by this because I love the idea of living forever. That sounds amazing. Or at
of
least,
course.
You know. So I've been very closely like following this, and Robert Sinclair got this Nobel Prize for you know, finding out that you can reverse the age of a mouse. Reverse age? What? And he did it without any drugs. There was no drugs. It was, you know, you can read his book, Lifespan. It's quite amazing. A technical read. But, and then there was all these people that came after. And then, you know, recently Brian Johnson's making it very famous. He's the kind of billionaire that's going to live forever. But in my experience, there's many, many billionaires who want to live forever. Of course, it's natural. If you've got all the money in the world, why not throw it at that? And what I started doing is reading a lot of these research papers. And then I became interested in something. And it was, I became interested in it from student feedback, which was, I have quite a lot of students who are elderly students. I never know what do you call people, so it's not impolite. But, you know, people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And, you know, typically they'll come in and they'll have arthritis, or sometimes they'll have tremors or carpal tunnel, or the memory's not so good. And all of these markers dramatically improve as they're going through the program.
Oh, there's a lot of tie-ins to memory as far as music is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was my first kind of like, oh, okay, well, but I've not researched this yet. So I'm like, okay, well, that's anecdotally, I'm just seeing universally, like not one or two times, like I can basically predict if somebody comes in and they tell me, oh, I've got arthritis and my memory's not so good and I've got the shakes and I feel tired all the time, and but that when they're a few months into this, they're suddenly going to be like a lot happier in life and more relaxed and more calm. And oh, actually, yeah, I didn't even notice, but my fingers are actually a lot better. And I suppose I am more mentally sharp. I was hearing this over and over, and I was like, wow, this is interesting from this. So I started researching it, and I went full geek because I wrote this article on Medium. And so writing the article, I spent so long, I investigated and investigated and investigated all of these different medical publications and medical journals. And these are not from kooky, weird institutions. This is Harvard Medical School, Oxford Research Institute. And I discovered there's over 50 peer-reviewed publications that directly link playing the piano to living longer. And then I saw this thing online, and it was Jane Fonda had said how playing an instrument on average would extend your life by 7 years. And I was like, what? So then I went, all right, okay, I've got to get into this. I've got to research this.
Yeah.
And so I went into it, and I found there's so much evidence of all the various ways how specifically playing piano extends life. And I could give you a summary of some of them. One obvious thing is that leading cause underneath so many illnesses is elevated cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. You might not know that you're stressed until you remove the stress. And so they'd universally found that playing piano for just 30 minutes could reduce cortisol. I'm going to get the percentage wrong. So I feel like somebody on the internet, some internet warrior, is going to kind of, but you can go read my article.
I got all it's the, okay. We I, get the idea. Yeah,
I cite all the publications, all the stats are there, but these stats are shocking. Increase in immune system, increase in T cells, increase in NK cells, which fight cancer, dementia, incredible effects on dementia, neuroplasticity increasing over 25% with just 10 minutes a day for 6 months. And on and on and on and on. And I was like, wow. And then when you combine all of this, you're like, wow, that this is quite something. And so that's something that I'm now very, very, very interested in.
I really appreciate you being here. Know anyone that you think would make a great guest for this podcast? Someone who works in sound on behalf of clients? Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear about them. Your recommendations are always super helpful. And now back to the show.
There's a company called Holyverse, and I'm really good friends with them. And they have an amazing medical program of doing testing. And then they give you all these results, and then you do things, and they're very interested in this. So we're looking at maybe doing some kind of partnership and getting some people, and then, okay, we come, we measure you. Right, now you're going to do the academy for 6 months, then we're going to measure you again. That's purely in the spirit of being a geek. But yeah, that's it's something I'm wildly interested in. And I, again, that takes us a bit back to these divine sounds and all this. Like, I don't, there's something far beyond my understanding that is going on. And I've experienced this since I'm 3 years old, and I see it in my dad. I mean, look, my dad died of a heart attack. That's directly a stress thing, right? He had angina, which I'm sure he had chronically high. I'm sure if you measured that guy, I mean, you just see it. He's always angry. He's always like, he's got a short fuse. He's kind of PTSD'd from his own childhood. And I'm sure if he had the outlet of music from a young age and he had a creative way to get that out rather than a destructive one, that he might have found himself later in life in a better physical condition. He might not have died when he died. That's, I can think with that. I look at me now. I look at how I am compared to how he is. And I'm like, but I've had this my whole life. I have bad days, but I have a place I go and then it becomes beautiful. And that's that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, the power of sound, the power of music. It's something that really transforms our lives.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. But yeah, I have loved this conversation, Stephen. Thank you so much for the time that you've taken, because this has been a fantastic journey.
Thank you.
I've learned a lot about the music business and about longevity and about the power of sound and how it makes us just feel so much better. And yeah, I don't think that this could be stated enough, that I think a lot more people need to understand how important music especially is in our lives, and that it can really help us in everything.
Yeah. I'll end with a final thing to really bring that home. I once went to a city in the middle of Russia called Novorossiysk. And in the Soviet Union, art was illegal. The only art you could have is like state-sponsored propaganda art. You know, USSR's amazing type thing. So when we have the fall of Berlin Wall, fall of USSR, there's this explosion of art in Russia and huge demand for it. It's like, you know, water to somebody who's been thirsty for so long. And but some of the more rural cities, that's not quite taken there yet. And so I've been hired by, like, it was not a romantic gig, but it was like some like mining company who make tools for mining were having an office party or some corporate event, and I got hired for that in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, okay. And so I fly to this really remote place in Russia, and I went, and it was a place where art had still not arrived, and every building looks the same. Everything's just concrete. It functionally has to be like that because it gets so cold there, but there was no beauty. And I'd just flown from Italy to that show. So I did a show in Florence in the Belmont Hotel, which is this like,
oh, most, my goodness, yeah, that's like a contrast.
Yeah, like the most, well, you know, in Italy, they don't just build a bridge. It's an experience. There's gargoyles and like everything is made with this sense of giving somebody a beautiful experience. And these people 1,000 years ago were thinking about us, and they built it out of these materials that would last forever. And now we're building all these cheap glass buildings, but they didn't think like that. They had a commitment to something higher and to beauty, and to, they used to honor God by making beautiful things, right? And now we get to, for free, enjoy walking the streets of Italy, and it's just an aesthetic. It literally lifts you up, and it's why people love to go on holiday there. It's just being there makes you want to dress better and be part of this aesthetics. Well, I went from there to the exact opposite, to a place that was all concrete and there was nothing. There was like a statue of Lenin, which looked miserable, and that's it. There was nothing. And we're driving around, and it was the night before the show, and the show's the next day. And I'm like, so what is there to do? There's nothing to do. There's bars. And like 50% of the population's alcoholic because there's nothing to do. And I'm like, whoa. And I went and played this show, and these people, it was like amazing. Their reaction was like amazing. And I was like, wow. Like, they'd just never seen anything like this before. And I'm grabbing them, and I'm grabbing these guys. I had a big grand piano. I'm like pulling them into the piano, and I'm playing the piano, and sweat dripping everywhere. And I'm grabbing people. Come here, come here. I'm getting everyone on the stage. Like, come. It was so amazing. And I've got so many of these anecdotes and stories just to put that there. Like, you know, we live in a world like there's so many over-medicated people. There's people looking for things, and And I do feel like, you know, music's just a great healer. And the reason I love your podcast and I love your dedication to sound, and because it, you know, it costs nothing. It, there's no side effects. It's one of the oldest forms of therapy in human history. It's the way that we like access and honor the divine. It's like, it's it, look at all the places where it's used in the world. It's what, how a country states its greatness with this big national anthem. Bomb, 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 bomb. You know, it's military. How do you know the military's going to be there with the drums and the big thing? It's in all of these great moments, the Super Bowl, you know, like for any great moment, there's sound, there's music, and it's because of what it does. And it, anyway, I don't need to labor that point. I think it's something that's natural to people, but it's been a pleasure to come here and talk about a subject I love with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I love music because it brings us together as opposed to pushing us apart. We are so divided right now in so many different ways. And yet, if all of us listen to a piece of music, we can all be moved in the same way.
Jody, what's your favorite song? I want to ask you that question.
Oh, I am a huge Queen fan. I love Queen. And I love them because of the harmonies. It's the harmonics that get me every time. I mean, Freddie Mercury had a voice of an angel, but but yeah, just about anything that I listen to that's Queen is my favorite song.
That's amazing. Rock opera. Did you see the movie?
I have not yet, and it's mostly because it's hard for me to sit back and watch the recreation. I find that takes me out of experiencing that moment of the beauty of the music. Maybe that's something weird just with me, but I will eventually watch it. I'm sure I will. I watched Rocket Man. I did see Rocket Man.
I saw that one. I would give that one, honestly, a 5, and I would give Bohemian Rhapsody a 10.
Okay. I definitely need to watch it then.
Yeah. Yes. There's two great music biopics that I really, really like, and one is the Ray Charles one, Ray. And one is Bohemian Rhapsody. A lot of the other ones, I personally don't love them so much, but I know what you mean. I have one song, Clair de Lune by Debussy, and I've never played
it. I love that song.
That is
a beautiful song.
That's why I'll never play it. It's weird. It's like, I don't want to understand it.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know how it, I know if I sat down, I can get a piece of music, I'll play it in an hour. I just don't want to. I don't.
Yeah.
And let me just leave that as some, like, it's funny. And, but, so I do understand that, but I have to say, like, that movie's, it will increase your appreciation for that when you see.
I definitely.
Genius, I need beyond to, genius. Amazing.
Yeah, I need to watch it. Yeah, just a wonderful band, and I love everything that they did. So,
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful discussion, and I look forward to hearing your music into well into the future, because you're gonna live a long time.
Hope so.
Thanks so much.
Lovely. Thank you, Jody.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time,